This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Means you're spending more time indoors? Why not make your space more inviting? Well, Macy's is here for you. Our President's Day sale is going on right now with big savings on what you need to refresh your entire home. 20 to 60% off, up to 60% off new furniture, up to 60% off a new mattress, and up to 60% off a new comforter for that mattress. Whether your style is rustic, classic, or modern, come into Macy's today and back to a house that feels more like home. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Meanwhile, at Xfinity.
Hey, Steve, why are you on the roof?
Product research. We engineered the Xfinity mobile network to have super fast Wi-Fi on the go, plus reliable 5G. I wanted to test it out up here.
And how's that going?
Well, I've been streaming movies on my phone for the last 3 hours, so pretty successful, I'd say. It's like a drive-in theater with a view.
You've been watching movies all day?
Yep, like I said, product research.
You know, I think I could go for some product research, too.
It's hard work being an Xfinity engineer.
Switch to Xfinity Mobile to get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go and now at home, plus reliable 5G where you need it. And now through March 21st, Xfinity Internet customers can buy one unlimited line and get one free for a year. Learn more at XfinityMobile.com. Xfinity, bring on the good stuff. Restrictions apply. Xfinity Internet and 2 new unlimited lines required. Reduced speeds up to 30 gigabytes of usage per line. Data thresholds may vary. Gig speeds available via hotspots. Actual Wi-Fi speeds vary, not guaranteed.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, now I'm distracted. We're gonna go to the phones. We'll go to the Draymond sound. We're gonna do all of this stuff. Okay?
You think you're distracted?
What the hell is that?
It's tonight's college basketball slate.
I thought you do that just during the tournament. What is this?
Oh no, it's the gear up for the tournament. The tournament's right around the corner.
I understand that.
It starts
February.
Like 5 weeks from tomorrow.
I understand that the month that comes after February is March.
So in February, you start doing your homework and you start finding the teams that are trending toward being upset threats.
You've got to fine tune the system, Willie.
I understand that, but if you're like me, Grandy, and you're actually in this room and you're listening to what happens with Dibs every afternoon, the teams that you are following and betting on are not the teams that are going to be a factor in the tournament.
Untrue.
You will come in here and like turn on a game on channel 1452.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll be like, Quinnipiac plus 14 and a half. I'm on them tonight.
They broke
and
my
I'm
heart.
Like, what are you on actually tonight? Like, seriously, what are you doing over there?
Western Carolina. they're going up against East Tennessee State. We're taking the points, Mark. Like, McNeese is a team to watch. And for those of you...
Hi, this is Quinton Post. Your picks stink.
For those of you night owls, you watched Utah State last night.
Oh, we did
and if
not.
You didn't, you better recognize, because they're one of those teams that you need to watch. But more on that, never.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Anyway, fade the Citadel today.
The distraction was the fact that, because what I actually place a couple of pieces of pepperoni on...
Shekels.
...are teams that people have heard of. And so Dame Lillard just got ruled out tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks. And it was a head-scratcher because I woke up today and I went, I'm on the Wolves. I'm on the Wolves tonight. And the number this morning was -9. And I'm like, let's do this. I'm in on the Wolves -9. I think the Bucks are just, they're haggard, they're a mess. And I think the Wolves are going to take them down by double digits tonight. And then Dame Lillard gets ruled out, and I'm like, so weird. I wonder what the number is now, because don't you love to go in there and look what the number did, and you're like, I got him at 9, and now the number's 13. Ha ha. Number's 8.5.
It went the other way.
Odd. But then I got the pow-pow from Grandy. He goes, what the hell are you doing rooting for the Wolves? The Warriors are trying to catch the Wolves.
That's a good point.
And I said, not tonight. Not tonight. So, long way of getting to this question. When you have a betting interest on a team that is not of the same interest of the Warriors, what do?
You root for your money.
Yeah.
You root for the money when there are 29 games left to go. I think
that's what I'm thinking.
For me, I do think it's a little bit too early to start rooting against a team that is three spots ahead of you. Like tonight, beat Dallas. And then tomorrow, beat Houston.
Correct.
And coming out of the break... Honestly, if the Warriors can handle their business and they've got 29 more of these left to go, if you have 53-29, if you wind up winning 21 of the 29, if you go 21-8 the rest of the way, it doesn't matter what Minnesota does. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. You're going to be 6 or 7.
You're going to be fine.
You're going to be right there. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Handle your own.
Okay.
And in the meantime...
So I'm okay rooting for Minnesota to go
absolutely.
By double digs tonight over the Bucks.
No doubt.
That's what we're going for.
I like it.
Okay. Are you all right with that? Granny's shaking his head.
Go Bucks. Go
well,
Bucks.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm not... What if I gave you some of the money?
What? Go T-Wolves. I don't know what you're talking about, like $1.89?
Something like that,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not go big. I went medium.
I need at least $5 to sway me.
Oh, mm-hmm. We could do that.
Okay.
But what's in it for me?
Oh, nothing.
I was going to say, like, if you're going to come over and bring beer and we go, watch the game, then I'd be getting something out of it. I'm not going to give you $5 just because, like...
You're going to have a beer on a Wednesday night?
No.
Yeah, no chance.
No. No, not at
so. I'll bring beer and I'll just drink the beer, and then you give me $5.
You could bring like a. There'd be a better chance if you brought something that wasn't beer. We could do alcohol on Wednesday night.
Wine?
Maybe that's a little.
You mix up a Manhattan for
that's
your guy.
He's
a Manhattan guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or if you want to just be like, I don't know, Grandy. If you want to be young and fun, you could bring a Mike's Hard Lemonade or something. How about that?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Maybe Twisted Tea?
Yeah, Twisted Tea.
I'm open.
I'm here for all that.
I'm open. We can do a local motion. We can do something like that.
More of a High Noon guy myself.
All right, High Noon. Yep. That's fine.
That's what we had for the Super Bowl.
Strawberry lemonade, Truly. Like, sure.
Would you have?
We're Truly?
Actually,
whatever.
Spindrift, which I'm sure you know.
Yes, I know
Spindrift. They now make a spiked.
They do?
Yeah.
Spiked Spindrift?
We had some Spindrift for the Super Bowl. We were spiking it up. Yeah.
How many did you have?
Enough to where I was happy to be home. Yeah,
you're like, this is a good game.
I had so many that I didn't realize that I hit the square in the fourth quarter. How about that?
That's right.
Woke up in the morning on Monday. It's like, oh, cha-ching.
Let's go to dibs, half in the bag.
Yeah.
You had the 56-year-old version of when you wake up in Vegas in a hotel room and you're like, who put these chips all over me?
Dude, no doubt. I checked my email. It's like, I won. And I had to go back to the squares, and I had 0-2.
I checked my email. This is what happens when
totally,
you drink
bro.
Too much and win money when you're 50s. I checked my email. Yeah. An amazing happened.
My fax machine was making all this noise. Dude, seriously.
Oh, my God.
I was like,
God.
Oh, my God. I had 02.
Okay.
I had no idea. I can't believe they converted. I would have been rooting harder for that.
Oh, God.
Xavier Worthy.
Let's go to Manly Man in the City. What the hell are you doing?
Oh, just hanging out, listening to you guys.
Okay, now we're listening to you.
Well, that sounds like a good thing.
All right.
Some good and the bad with the Warriors right now. The bad is they're taking way too many threes. When you're taking basically half your shots are threes and you're getting a 29% clip, they're not going to win a whole lot of games. We got lucky against Milwaukee because they were down players. But the Warriors need to take a few steps in, shoot the two until the first half of the game, until they get their mojo going, and then they'll be better. With Butler, he attacks the basket. That's 101. You attack the basket, the defenses collapse, and then you can kick out for a nice, open, good, high-percentage three. And that's what Butler brings to the table, and that's what they've been doing. And if they continue to do that, they'll be okay. They also need to start Quentin Post at center. He pulls more players away from the basket, makes it easier for everybody to attack, and he's a great three-point shooter and he has a great stroke. And those are the key factors on it. The only thing I'm worried about with Jimmy, if he turns into a diva later on in the season, his quality of work is fine, but if he has an attitude for something that somebody says to him or does, it could be a problem. When Moses Moody came to him when he was on the end of the game talking, Moses patted him on the back and he goes, "Don't touch me." And he kind of sounded serious, which had me concerned. It's like, dude, he was giving you a pat of congratulations. Maybe I'm misunderstanding it. I used to be a behavior instructor, so I know how people react and so forth.
I don't want to take your credentials from you, Manly Man, but I do think that you're misreading that situation.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a big smile on his face. That was thought to be a big joke. I'll say this, and Manly Man, thank you for the call.
Thank you, Manly.
I am not worried about Jimmy's attitude this year at all. And I'm largely not worried about it even over the next 2 years, because in NBA contract life, that's a very short period of time. And one thing, this is going to sound so stupid after what happened with Jordan Poole a couple years ago, but for the most part, I know that Draymond is Draymond, but his powers are being taken from him a little bit as he moves into the late portions of his career. I don't think that the Warriors locker room at this stage runs that hot. I just don't. I know the Durant thing. I know the Jordan Poole thing. I get it. I don't know. I don't think as they move into their late 30s, I don't think it's that volatile. I'm not saying that nothing can happen. Of course something can happen. But Jimmy is only asked to be here for 2+ years, and he's getting paid a crap ton to do it. And I don't know. I don't think he's going to go sideways.
I don't either. And if I look at the situations that have led him to go sideways in the past, and I know it's happened a number of different places, Minnesota, it was a team that was largely soft in his eyes, and he didn't feel like he could win, and he needed to be out of there. And Miami, he wanted money, and he didn't feel like he was getting help, and so he wanted out of there. He comes here, they've won titles, and he has gotten paid. So if you're Jimmy and you want to get one more payday after this one, which you're allowed to at 37 or 38 at that point, but in the meantime, you got $112 million to play with a number of guys who've won a title. For me, all of the triggers are mostly gone for Jimmy.
I agree with you. And then listen to this. This is from the Draymond Green Show, and listen to what he said that Steph said to him.
Like, we got Jimmy Butler. Like, this is no small deal. It's Jimmy Butler. Steph, he looked like he got belief. After the trade, he looked at me and he said, man, it's crazy because it just dawned on me that, like, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, this is
the last run.
Last run. Like, and I said, let's do it.
Let's ride to the wheels fall off.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go.
It was an emotional moment.
Okay, that's Baron Davis, the other voice on there, who's doing a lot of the shows with Draymond. But put yourself in their shoes, Draymond, Steph, and Jimmy Butler. They're all in agreement. This is it. You all got paid. This is your last ride. What is there to get all, you know what I mean, like angry about, at least contractually? Like, this is it. This is your last ride.
Right. Steph will be 39, and the two of you will be 37. And if you all can do something else somewhere or here, it's going to be for a lot less. So, yeah, 2.5 years, make the most of it and see what you can do.
Okay, Deebo Samuel wants a trade. What should the 49ers be thinking about that? What did the Niners learn from what the Eagles did? Brock Purdy contract extension talks. All of that and much more with our favorite guy, NFL Films' Greg Cosell, joins us next. Buster Posey in an hour. We're brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. The Warriors are in Dallas tonight. Warriors live at 5:30, presented by Xfinity Stream Sports. From the best seat in the house with Xfinity, bring on the good stuff. And the good stuff is Greg Cosell, next on Willard and Dibs.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Buster Posey in an hour, 40 minutes until we start talking keyword knockout tournament. Take a deep breath, dude.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath.
I'm coming off a good one.
Yep. But this is the big one.
This is the big one.
This is the whole season wrap.
It's the Super Bowl of interviews with our dear friend Greg Cosell. I'm nervous.
NFL Films, Greg Cosell, post-Super Bowl, out on the River Islands guest line. Greg, thanks as always for coming on. How are you this week?
You know, I'm a little tired, guys. I'm a little tired.
Were you burning it up in New Orleans?
Oh, God, no. I was in bed by 11 every night. Okay. I'm tired from the season.
Fair enough.
Those days have been way over for years, you know?
No doubt. I think you speak for all of us. But that said, Greg, I go back to our conversation last week, and I got to say, you said some things that I think were still bouncing around in my brain as I was watching what the Eagles did when you sort of indicated that they had an advantage in the trenches.
Yeah, it was really interesting. You know, when I watch tape, and particularly when it's one game like that, where I spent actually 4 hours watching each side of the ball yesterday. So when I'm watching the Eagles' defense, I was just saying to myself, well, this is really interesting. I'm wondering what was in Vic Fangio's mind when he started preparation and he looked at this Chiefs offense and, you know, what was going through his head as to how he wanted to play them. And basically, it was fascinating because they did not rush five one time in the game. Mahomes dropped back 42 times, 39 of those times they rushed four, three times they rushed three, and they basically lined up on every snap in a two high safety structure, and they didn't play two high safety every single snap, but a very, very high percentage of the time. And it occurred to me that they just said, you know what, our defensive line is better and more athletic than your offensive line, and we're going to win that way. And then starting in the second quarter, they went to a whole bunch of different stunt concepts, and their athleticism just really showed up, and they dominated. They were, in a sense, daring the Chiefs to run the ball because they were playing out of a too high shell, and the Chiefs never really ran the ball.
Yeah, and even when they tried, they couldn't. I think they had three rushes in the first half, if the stats are, you know, refreshing me in the correct way. And, Greg, I was thinking about the Niners watching that game, because isn't that the construct that Robert Saleh and company want? The ability to rush four, be disruptive, and have seven covering on the back end?
Yeah, in an ideal world, I mean, most coaches would love that. You know, sometimes you can't do that, but most coaches would love that for the simple reason that football is a numbers game. And if you can get home or impact the quarterback with four, you have seven in coverage. And you have seven in coverage versus five eligible receivers, maybe even sometimes four eligibles if the offense feels they need to keep someone in to help. So the numbers are in your favor. So I think most teams would love to be able to do that, and the Eagles were. As I said, they did not rush five one time in the game.
What about the trenches on the other side, Greg? And I specifically wonder about this Eagles offensive line that is huge. You talked them up last week, and there's a lot of talk here in San Francisco about the 49ers' needs on the offensive line, which underperformed this year. So what do you think the Niners may have been able to learn from what ended up happening in the Super Bowl?
Well, it's funny you say that, because that was not the best performance by the Eagles' offensive line this year by any stretch. They had some bad snaps. Well, of course, the Chiefs have a pretty good defensive front as well, and they won some one-on-one matchups. And obviously, the Chiefs did a really good job with Barkley. They had some run blitzes on early downs. They would bring safeties down late into gaps, so they'd show Barkley, hey, maybe there's a cutback, and then all of a sudden a safety would appear. But the one thing they didn't do was they didn't really load the box, as everybody automatically assumed that they would just load the box. They didn't really do that. In fact, they played a lot of snaps out of too high. But they have a really good D-line. Now, the Eagles obviously have a really good O-line. You know, it's just one of those things. They've got tremendous size. They've got really good players. Not every team can do that. This is what the Eagles have. You know, would every team aspire to have a great O-line? I think every team aspires to have a great O-line. That's sort of a foundation of your offense.
You mentioned 1,700 pounds of pure man just force on that line. Is that the kind of line that the Niners can utilize based on what Kyle Shanahan likes to do with the outside zone?
Well, I don't think there's a lot of guys like that. That's the thing. I mean, you know, you got Dickerson at left guard who probably weighs 350. You know, you got Becton at right guard who probably weighs 360. You have Maialata who probably at left tackle who probably weighs 370. You know, there's not 100 guys like that. So, you know, I think you have to be careful about thinking that any team can just automatically get guys like that. It's kind of a unique situation that the Eagles have.
Greg, of course, coming out of the Super Bowl, there was the game. But the fan base here was a little bit more engaged with the fact that there was a Deebo Samuel trade request. Let's start with this. What did you see on tape from Deebo this year as compared to previous years?
Well, I'll answer it this way, and I think that they probably will move on from him because assuming Ayuk comes back healthy, you're going to have Ayuk, you're going to have Pearsall, you're going to have Jennings. So I think, you know, they probably feel that, you know what, if we do move on, and I don't know, is he still under contract?
He is. I think one more year. Yeah.
Yeah, so that means that he would have to be traded unless they would release him outright. So, you know, I think that within the context of how they see their offense moving forward with those three wide receivers, and ideally McCaffrey is back healthy, I guess that remains to be seen, but ideally if all that happens, Samuel would probably be in some way superfluous to what, you know, what they have right now. And, you know, given that he certainly did not put up the same production this year that he had in previous years, it would not surprise me if they see it that way.
And you love Ricky Pearsall. I know you were high on him going into the season, and after he got better after his gunshot, you were mostly bullish on his productivity. Can Juwan Jennings, while Ayuk is out, step forward and be a good enough one receiver, the X receiver, for a team in its passing game?
I'm not sure he's an X. I mean, I really like Juwan Jennings. It's funny you say that because I remember watching him in college at Tennessee, and he did not run well at all, and that's one reason why people were down on him. But he was so physically competitive in the SEC, and I knew there'd be a place for him in the league, but he's not a number one. And that's no knock on him because I think he's a very, very good player. But he's not a true boundary X receiver. So, but he's really, really good. So, yeah, but as I said, I think they'll look at Ayuk. I don't know what his timetable is based on his injury, but assuming he's back, I really believe it would be Ayuk, Pearsall, and Jennings.
There is a thought, Greg, that Ayuk might need at least a month or so before he's fully ready to go. So, you know, I'm not going to ask you if you think the Niners should make some sort of a free agent move, but if Ayuk's not ready at the beginning of the year, do you feel like that room has enough, or are they a little bit short?
Well, we still have free agency in the draft, guys.
Sure.
We don't know that right now. I mean, you know, we'll see how they feel about it. They'll know. They certainly know his medicals a whole lot better than I do. So we'll see. I mean, they may feel that they want to draft another receiver. They may feel that they could get by with what they presently have. Maybe they feel Cowan can become a guy. I don't know. You know, this is stuff that they know way better than we do. Cowan's a guy that I also liked. You know, he didn't get any, you know, significant opportunities this year as a receiver. So we'll see what they think of him. But yeah, I think that they certainly could draft one. I don't know how many draft picks they have. You know, I'm not up to that point yet. So I don't know. But although I am grinding away watching college guys, but I haven't looked at NFL teams and see what their draft situations are.
Yeah, they got a lot of picks, especially in the third and fourth rounds. They got a lot coming, so we'll see.
And there's always receivers. Yeah. Look, there's always receivers, guys. You know that. Because normally, in every draft, receivers are wide receivers is the most drafted position in pretty much every draft. There's always receivers.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. This is an extension of what we were talking about with Deebo Samuel. I've heard some people say, look, the 49ers got away from their short passing game this year. And you've talked about how Brock Purdy was looking downfield more and needed to scramble more, sort of off schedule. What's your thought on that? Did they do less of their short passing game than they have in the past?
I mean, it played out that way. It's hard to know why it played out that way. I don't think their entire offense changed. It's possible that Purdy didn't see it, you know, it's clearly this year. There are times I thought that was the case, and I think that's one reason why he scrambled more. You know, so we'll see, you know, as Kyle, because the first thing teams do, particularly teams that don't make the playoffs, is they self-scout. They go back and look at all their tape. That's where it starts, before they do anything else. They go back and look at all their tape, and they'll try to figure out, you know, what worked for them, what didn't work for them. They'll try to understand why what didn't work didn't work, you know, why it didn't work. So, at their core, I still think that, you know, what Purdy does best is be a timing and rhythm passer kind of in the short to intermediate areas. And then run after catch becomes a major foundation of what they do. So I think they'll go back and take a really hard look at that and see why it didn't play out quite that way this year as it did the Super Bowl season before, or even the year before when they got to the NFC Championship game when, you know, they were so efficient in the pass game.
You mentioned free agent receivers and the draft and the rest of it. When you look at the tape from this past year and you see Davante Adams, what did you see as far as his ability to still be that boundary X, that top receiver for a good passing offense?
Yeah, I still think he's a good player. I mean, what's his age now? Is he
32?
Yeah. So I still think he can play. You know, he had good moments with the Jets. Are you talking about him as a 49er?
Is potentially, that what you're asking? Yeah. I mean, if Deebo is traded and you look to shuffle the deck and you don't want to bring in another young player, perhaps he might be a fit.
Yeah, I mean, he's a veteran. Obviously, he knows how to play in the league. He's still a really, really good route runner. He may not be he was never truly explosive, but he certainly had a vertical element to his game. But he certainly knows how to run routes. He understands defenses. You know, that kind of guy could be a one-year fit, depending on what else you have in mind, no question. What's his contract status, do you know?
I think he's got another year or two, but it would probably, you know, it would be subject to a restructure and a spread out,
right,
would be
right.
My guess.
So he'd have to become a Niner if that would happen in a trade?
Yeah, I think so. Unless the Jets unless do they, some sort of an outright release or whatever, which does not seem likely. They just got him.
Right, right. So, well, yeah, if that's the case, then, yeah, he's probably going to be a Jet. I mean, obviously Aaron Rodgers is gone, which I personally think is the right move, but, you know, that's they think so too, obviously.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because we're all sitting here, and I think that we might feel like we know otherwise, but for whatever reason, the betting markets think that the 49ers are one of three favorites to have Aaron Rodgers on the team next year. I think that's nuts. I think Brock Purdy is going to be the quarterback of the Niners. But how would you, just for fun, how would you compare those two players with what they put on tape last year?
Well, I'm with you. I don't even think that's a possibility that, you know, that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Niner. I mean, the problem with Aaron Rodgers is that he controls your whole organization, and that's a problem. So I don't even think that's realistic. I mean, Aaron Rodgers obviously still knows how to play. He's an incredibly smart player. He still can throw the ball. He doesn't have the same movement ability he once had. I thought last year, though, that his ball location, which had always been a great strength of his, I mean, he was such a precise ball placement thrower. I didn't think it was as good last year. Now, I don't know the reasons for that. Maybe there were issues with being on the same page. You know, those are things sometimes you don't know. But the bottom line, the way it played out watching tape, is he was clearly not as precise with his ball location as we've seen him throughout his career.
we talk about recency bias, and our lasting memory of Sam Darnold is not a good one. The last regular season game, the playoff game. But when you look at the totality of his tape, what do you think the market will be for Sammy D this offseason?
Pretty good, because it's not a great quarterback draft, and I think that, you know, he's a quarterback. He's coming off a really, really good season. You know, he's played in the league, so it's not, you're not getting a guy that you're uncertain as to what he is, which you always are a little bit when you draft a quarterback. So my guess is the market will be pretty good. Now, obviously, he played with a great coach in Kevin O'Connell. I mean, Darnold last year was phenomenal throwing the ball down the field. Think about this for a second, guys. On passes that went 20 yards or more in the air from the line of scrimmage, okay? Darnold completed 56% of those passes. By contrast, Patrick Mahomes completed 26% of those passes.
Interesting. And while we're talking about the quarterbacks, I don't want to fully leave the Brock Purdy conversation yet. From what we're all hearing here, the 49ers are completely convinced. But it's fascinating. Out there at the Super Bowl, yet again, Fred Warner seems like he's publicly almost pleading with everybody to understand that Brock Purdy is an elite quarterback in the NFL. Now, you can define that however you want. But what would you say, both you've seen on film, and if you have any hesitation about his future as a true number one quarterback?
Well, there's two parts to that question, because the bottom line is he may not be Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson, okay? And those would be considered the four best quarterbacks in the league. So now, if he's not that guy, what are people saying, that the 49ers should go get another quarterback? You know, I think I may have joked with you guys a few weeks ago. Yep. There's not a quarterback store where you just go get another quarterback. Brock Purdy is a quality NFL quarterback. As you said, you can define elite any way you want. But let's assume for a moment that Brock Purdy all of a sudden is not the 49ers quarterback. Then what happens?
Yeah, I was going to ask you the same question based on what you've seen in your early deep dive on the college quarterbacks. You said it's not a great quarterback draft. I mean, Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, is there anybody there that you see that you would, if you were the Niners, reach out and say, yeah, that guy's going to be great from what you've seen on film?
I'm in the process of that. I've actually finished doing Ward, Sanders, and Jackson Dart. I've also done Tyler Shuck from Louisville, who's a really interesting player. But, you know, I would say that based on my film study, and again, I don't get to talk to the players, so I don't know the answer to that. But I like Ward the best. I think Sanders has a lot of things that he needs to clean up and work on. I think that you have to be careful, because quarterbacks, I mean, look at Caleb Williams. Okay, Caleb Williams put up good numbers, but if you talk to people in the league, they'll tell you that he really had a hard time this year. So you have to be careful about that. You know, you have a quarterback, by the way, that's a pretty darn good player in Purdy. You know, he was in a Super Bowl in his second season. He was in the NFC Championship game in his first season. He's a really efficient player. I mean, I guess I struggle with all this. I mean, I don't know what people think is going to happen here. Do they just think a quarterback is going to fall out of the sky? I mean, to me, this is such a silly conversation.
Agreed, yeah. Greg. But yeah, like, no, nobody thinks that a quarterback is going to fall out of the sky.
Nothing against you guys, but no. this is sports talk radio meaningless stuff. I mean,
correct.
Brock Purdy is a really good player.
I got kids to feed here, Greg. What are we doing here, Greg Cosell? I mean,
no, but Greg, I think you're completely right. Then again, we have an audience, and this is what people are talking about. And I'm telling you, I have friends who have college degrees and watch a ton of sports, and this is what people do. They don't run it through the prism that you're running it through. They go, I wouldn't pay Brock X. And they bring that, and I'm like, I don't even know what that means. Like, there's 1,000 ways to structure a deal.
Let me tell you something that sort of plays into this.
Okay.
So the Eagles last season, not this year, lost their final 6 of 7 games, as you may recall.
Yes.
Okay? Then they were 2-2 going into their bye week this year. There was major talk within the organization, they didn't know if Jalen Hurts was the guy.
Right.
They didn't know. Okay, so now What do we think about Jalen Hurts? Should the Eagles look for another quarterback now?
He might be the guy, Greg. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I need to see more, Greg. Exactly. I need to see more.
All right, there you go. So, I mean, these conversations get a little silly.
Yes. Yes, Greg, they do.
But at the same
time, yeah, you know me, guys. I'm a little realistic about this stuff. You know, it's, yeah.
Yeah. Too realistic for sports talk, quite frankly.
That's probably true. That's probably true.
Well, Greg, give us this on the way out the door, even if it's a little uncomfortable, because I know it's not, like, I know you don't want to act like you know more than Kyle Shanahan. But honestly,
I don't know more than Kyle Shanahan.
I know you don't, but you're out there grinding through tape and you watch everything the Niners did this year. If he came to you and he was like, Greg, what is our biggest position of need? How would you answer that question?
On the offensive side, I'd say offensive line for sure. I think that needs to be kind of reworked and rebuilt.
Trent Williams still have the good stuff or no?
You know, he didn't play the last whatever number of games.
Right.
He certainly, I spoke to someone who said that, hey, Father Time catches up with everyone. I don't know. You know, does he want to come back and play?
I mean, as far as we know, yes. Yes, he does.
Yeah. I mean, so that's a hard question to answer regarding him.
Right.
Obviously, Banks did not have a very good season after having a pretty good season the year before. He was not very good. I don't think the center played as well as he played. I think Pooney's going to be a good player, real solid right guard. I've told you guys that I feel like they need a right tackle. So I think three positions, whether it's the same guys or whether it's new guys, three of the five positions need to be meaningfully better.
Oh, so only three of the five. All right. That's not that bad.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Greg, thanks so much, man. You're the best. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Okay. That's Greg Cosell, NFL Films. He said, Kyle, go get some big guys.
Only three of the five,
that's
though.
That's it. I mean, you're set with two of them.
Your left tackle's great and old and does he want to play. But, oh, boy, that right guard. I like him.
Right guard is good. He's young and he's good.
Yeah.
So you got that going for you. Which is nice.
Yeah, I do think that center in the free agent market is a great place to start when you're talking about young Dahlman, Chris's son, Chris, former Niner, the kind of free agent piece you can bring in and automatically you get a lot better.
Okay, 888-957-9570 is the number. Buster Posey's coming up in a half hour. Let's play with this a little bit, though. Do you miss Clay? Do you miss Clay Thompson? And do you think you're going to miss Debo? And which one might you miss more? Let's play with this a little bit. We'd love to take your calls, 888-957-9570. Warriors about to see Clay again. Do you miss him? 888-957-9570. Also, you've heard us talk about it the last couple of weeks, and now we've got tickets to give away. The Celebrity Pickleball Bash, the biggest celebrity pickleball event in the world, is coming to the city this weekend, February 15th and 16th at the Warfield. We're giving away tickets right now. Chris Mullin, Hunter Pence, Terrell Owens, Baron Davis, and more will all be playing and you can watch. Caller number 4 to the contest line right now gets a 4-pack of tickets. 415-523-4652. Caller 4, 415-523-4652. Good luck to you, Warriors. Wednesday's brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And we're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Your call's next. Do you miss Clay? 888-957-9570 is the number on Willard and Dibbs.
This is crazy.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Look, it's just a text line. It's not gospel, but it got interesting over the last few minutes.
When you threw that out there.
Do you miss Clay?
What was my answer before? Nah.
No.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, no, your answer was not as much as you thought you would.
Right. Right. I thought I'd miss him more, but seeing what he's been in Dallas, which is, he's averaging about 14 a night, last I checked. He still has a Claymaker game or a Claymaker half in him, but I miss him less than I thought I would. I'll be honest.
Klay Thompson, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, no, that's not fair. Those are players who aren't on the team anymore. Like, you know, Luka. Luka's averaging more than Klay. He's not on the team anymore.
Right, right.
Anyway, yeah, point is
13.8.
13.8 points per game for Klay Thompson. Grandy, do you miss Klay?
I'm in the same boat as Dibs, not nearly as much as I thought I would. Even with the Warriors struggling for the majority of the year,
yeah.
It never really has struck me as, oh, that's the difference.
Right, right. Lucas, do you miss Klay?
I miss him about as much as I thought I would, which is not that much.
Oh, well, that was a little more heavy-handed.
A little cold-hearted.
I mean, I love Klay. Later. I love old Klay.
Well,
I didn't love who he turned into and who he thought he still was.
Listen to some of these texts since we threw that out there. 925, I do not miss pouty, grumpy Klay. 650, don't miss Klay, won't miss this version of Debo underperforming prima donna. 510, sure, I miss you, Klay, but I mean, you literally shot your way out of the gym and left. So, like, no hard feelings, but don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Mm.
650, Klay was a stubborn ball hog for 2 years. 707, here's a little bit of a different spin. I miss Klay every time I see Buddy Hield touch a basketball.
Well, yeah, I mean,
707, not as much as I miss Andres Biedrich.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, yeah, there you have it. I mean, listen, that seems to be the prevailing thought. I know that this is sports radio and it's a text line, so you have to, there, like, something emotionally is making you want to chime in. I think that Warrior fans will never not love Klay, but the bottom line is we're not sort of through the journey of getting to the other side yet, which is to say that Klay's in that spot. Same thing that Joe Montana was, or Jerry Rice was, or Ronnie Lott was, or whatever, where you're like, you're still playing.
Right.
And you're on another team. And we're going to love you when you come back, when you're 47 years old.
Yeah.
And 57 years old. And you come back and you wave to us. And Klay might not. He might just be on a boat or in the Bahamas. I have no idea what the guy's going to do.
Come back for your statue.
Yeah, but he'll like he will be beloved then, but we're not there yet. This
reminds me a little bit more of Will Clark, who was,
interesting one.
Klay wasn't forced out, but he left kind of against his true will, maybe, yeah. And the way he played and the way things went. And Will Clark is kind of the same. He had a great year in 93, and they had 103 wins and no wild card. There was no such thing, and then he got shipped out. And so I do think that he still harbors some of those feelings of resentment that he didn't get a chance to still be a Giant.
Will Clark?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting, because he's completely embedded with the organization still.
Right, but now we're 30 years removed from then, and
sure.
I do know, and I've heard him speak on it, where when he actually did leave, there was feelings of like, man, I didn't want to have to go be a Rangers.
Sure, I'm sure. Like, there's always that thing where you've achieved greatness with an organization, and when it's time for you to go, you feel some kind of way about the lack of sentimentality, which is also funny because if you follow sports closely, I think the majority of fans out there, like, we've got a sentimental side, but we don't want you signing contracts because of it. Like, I don't want thank you contracts.
Well, the Giants did that, and how that worked out for you.
Well, I don't know, mixed bag,
yeah.
Quite frankly, because, yeah. You know, we did arrive at a time where people looked at the contracts for the Brandons and Buster Posey and went, dude, why'd you sign those? And then they came back in 2021 and won every baseball game.
Yeah.
And those two guys, Buster and Brandon Crawford, were incredible.
Yeah. Even Brandon Belt had a healthy, good year.
He did, until he didn't. He got hurt right at the wrong time, right. And he wasn't there for the playoffs. But yeah, though, like, they were incredible. So I don't know, mixed bag. But like, maybe Debo.
Brandon Belt.
Yes, Brandon Belt. Maybe Debo is literally. Maybe he is Klay Thompson. There are some comps. He's not a champion with the team. Like, he hasn't built that kind of a relationship, I don't think. But this is a boombox guy. This is a guy who's been to two Super Bowls. He's a career Niner drafted here. We knew he was going to get drafted here before the draft even happened. Kyle loved him. It's been all good. He's been the heart and soul of the team. Now, suddenly, getting a little annoyed, getting a little disgruntled, and people are looking at him going, you're still good. You're not as good as you used to be. And if you want to buck that system a little bit, we're going to say, well, here's the door. Now, this is getting sped up because Debo's like, fine, I'm out. Get me out of here. And the Niners are like, cool, we'll get you out of here. So a little less controversial than all the Clay stuff.
Yeah, football, it goes a lot faster because of the non-guaranteed nature of contracts. And so, you know, you get to, and I don't want to get into all the mumbo-jumbo of post-June 1st designation and cap hits being spread out over years. But in football, you can get to this destination faster. With Clay, and I was just looking at his numbers, in the 3 years post-championship, it's been a struggle. A lot of shots and not a lot of makes. And, you know, 2 years in Golden State and now in Dallas, his numbers, and the texter before said, yeah, I miss him every time Buddy touches it. Buddy Hield and Klay Thompson, if you put their numbers side by side,
almost the same player.
Almost identical.
Yeah.
Like, Klay scores more because he plays more and he shoots more, but Klay's at 42% from the floor. Buddy's at 41.5%. Klay is 39% from three. Buddy's 37%. So they're largely the same player. When they're hot, they're hot. And when they're not, they're not.
I'm going to agree with you. But if Buddy's at 37%, that's also buoyed by the fact that he was at like 45% for the first month of the season.
Yeah, or better.
So since then, Buddy has not been as good as Klay Thompson. Klay has been much more steady Eddie and consistent. And I don't know, solid. Like, Clay's not been great. They ask a lot less of him, but he's been solid. You know, 39.3% from three, that's solid.
December and January for Buddy, 29 games in totality in those 2 months. He was 30% and 31% respectively from three.
Oof.
That's 29 games of please stop shooting.
What's he been the last two games?
Last five games. I have the February number in front of me.
Yep.
39% from three.
Okay.
And 13 points a game.
Okay.
So the five games of February have been closer to October, November was bananas.
Well, he's got the same nickname as Jimmy. So what about the buckets games?
Yeah.
What has he been in the two buckets games? Buddy Buckets and Jimmy Buckets.
In those two games since Jimmy Buckets has been here, he was 5 of 13 and 7 of 15.
From 3?
4 of 9 and 2 of 8. So 6 of 17, which is, that's a 36%.
Yeah.
And he's averaging 15 points a game.
Yeah, like, it's fine.
That's exactly what you want him to be.
It's not offensive.
No. 4 of 9 and 2 of 8, honestly, like 6 of 17, if you can shoot 36% and get 15 points a game, that's about all you can expect from a guy making $8
million. I guess I'll answer it this way. Do you miss Klay Thompson? And by the way, we'll take your calls on this. If anybody wants to say something about this, 888-957-9570, that's the number, and Buster Posey joins us in 15 minutes. No, I don't. And it's really unfortunate that I don't. Because I, like many of you, I sat here for the better part of a year. Oh, big three this and big three that and retire and bop, 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 and the statue. And I was one of those people. But Clay's attitude over the last year and a half ruined it. It ruined it. Not forever, but
no.
For now.
Yeah.
He did. I remember the shows we did where I'm just like, dude, why are you so angry? If you're missing shots, you're missing shots. I mean, we get to assess sports. That's what we do. But you know me. I'm not going to come down someone's road because they're struggling for a minute or two, especially not when you're a proven champion. But, dude, that attitude, it got to me. Like, that's not what I enjoyed about watching Warrior basketball. I do not want somebody to be frumpy grumpy all day.
Yep.
And he was.
And you could see it. And it was more than just like, I'm in a slump and I'll snap out of it. It was the better part of two seasons. I don't know if it was two full years, but clearly when Jordan Poole got his deal and Draymond got extended and then you get through that year and Klay wanted to get his and the team did not engage even in a back and forth, and he wound up playing that full year without a contract, you could see that he was kind of wearing it on his sleeve.
Totally. And then we started getting word of what it was like behind the scenes, and I think it was even worse.
Yep.
It was even worse. And I think there's a word to the wise there, which we'll get to in just a second. We're going to take your calls. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM, in HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.